Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Today in the studio, like we have been doing on occasion, Mike Cabay and I are having a conversation.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing?
Good to be back in front of the mic.
Yes, yes, sir.
Yes. And as everybody knows, you're the sound engineer and photographer for We Mentor Mondays with Nancy.
Yes, I am.
And you've launched your business, and it's Cabaya Media, right?
Cabaya Media, yes.
Yes.
I used to call it Cabaya Pictures, and then since I came up with lots of ideas and I wanted to use lots of my, you know, whatever I felt I could do, including sound, music videos and stuff like that. And I guess actually I got that inspiration from you. We were talking one day upstairs here, and you were like, well, since you have a lot of things coming in, photography, videography and all of that, why don't you just call it Cabaya Media? I was like, you got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
You probably forgot about that, huh?
Oh, I did. Well, yeah, because we're always exchanging so many ideas.
I know.
I think my husband, Matthew, too, was thinking about the name,
Cabaya
too.
Media,
and
yes.
We were all brainstorming in the kitchen, I think.
Yeah, it was in the kitchen, yes, having a dinner that day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like so many good ideas come from casual conversations.
Absolutely. That's the perfect brainstorming sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know. There's no judgment about it.
No judgment. Just, you know, think.
Yeah,
out.
Right.
Yeah.
Just sharing ideas.
Yes.
And exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think it's always really important when you're forming a name of your business to not be confined by the name.
Exactly.
So thinking broad enough of all the gifts and talents that you have and how you want to express yourself in the world through different services and delivering different products, that it's good to think about a variety of different avenues of how you would generate, you know, different revenue streams.
Absolutely. Cabaya Pictures sounded good. Whoever saw or heard about that would have thought about my pictures, photography essentially. But I wouldn't have gotten a clue that I'm a sound engineer on We Mentor Mondays with Nancy.
Yeah. You know?
So media was sort of inclusive. You know, it embraced all the activities that I undertake.
Yeah, and as media changes,
yes.
you'll be able to kind of work underneath that umbrella because you're bringing out ideas and ways for people to connect in the world through media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
Absolutely.
Social media and pictures and, you know, however things evolve.
Exactly.
Yeah. Great. Well, today we're going to be talking about how you've been growing as a leader since you've started your business. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it, we'll also talk about our feelings. Let's just connect. So I feel like my feet are grounded. I feel pretty relaxed and comfortable in our conversation. I feel emotionally clear and current. I feel contemplative. I've been thinking about a lot of things, and maybe yoga teacher training does that to you when you're physically working your body to get the energy moving and get the kinks worked out. Mm. It puts you in a place of kind of more reflective thought. And you're changing your diet and I'm doing more meditating. Mm-hmm. And so that has put me kind of in a contemplative state of mind.
That's a good state of mind to be in. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You will unleash your creativity and everything. And you feel good, I can tell, in your body. You know, even physically, you feel like you have more strength and you're present in time.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Exactly.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as I am concerned, I circulated awareness, receptive, and open here.
Okay.
I think that I'm in that spot where I'm just open to new ideas.
Yeah.
On how I can expand whatever I'm doing right now, you know, my business.
I work on a concept with people. It's called a conscious, intuitive, entrepreneurial leader and mentor. Mm-hmm. I term the coin through over 20 years of observations and tracking of the psychological and emotional progress of my clientele, entrepreneurs and small business owners, and those who made permanent shifts, they stayed connected in a certain way to their inner self. This type of leader became mindful of the relationship between their professed core values, their vision, their life purpose, and their daily behavior by applying practices and putting in place routines that support their life work. This leader can activate what I call an internal cohesive unit, or it's all the senses that you have and your intuitive abilities, mm-hmm. and also your internal energy or your chakras, all the capacities that we have to within ourselves to feel more deeply, to think, act, and lead more clearly and authentically. Mm-hmm. So in that process, and in the spirit of asking you about leadership, and I thought it was a good topic today, was because we all have questions. We see all different types of leaders, mm-hmm. and they lead in different ways. Some you feel really inspired by, others they have more of a crass way of leading that makes you feel less than yourself, mm-hmm. and doesn't feel very uplifting. It feels more aggressive, and mm-hmm. but all those, you know, there's still leadership skills, mm-hmm. because they're organizing people toward something to do something, mm-hmm. that's bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. And so are reflecting on your leadership skills and how you've grown in your own business as an entrepreneurial leader. Mm. What have you learned?
Well, quite a few things, actually. For me, in particular, being charismatic is one of the most important factors, at least for now, that I needed to work on. And by being charismatic as one of the features of being a good leader, I guess, it implies being present in time.
Yeah.
You know, when you see somebody like, I would just take an example here, Bill Clinton.
Sure.
For example, most people would tend to say, hey, this is a charismatic person. I guess Obama is kind of like that too. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of person that when they stand in front of you, you feel like you can't but listen to them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Like your focus goes right to what they're saying.
The focus goes there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, they have that presence, that magical presence.
Yes.
But beyond that, they also have another feature that I will call compassion. Mm-hmm. They have that compassion in them. And by compassion, I mean being kind with people, being receptive and open.
Yeah.
To people, to what is going on, mm-hmm. to what people are telling you, and of course, love. And this is a big lesson that I got from someone who I consider to be one of my mentors in life, I guess. That was back in the day, back in the Democratic Republic of Congo. I used to be the president of the choir where Sylvia and I were involved in.
Sylvia, your wife. About,
yeah. That's over 20 years ago, I guess. And when I got elected as the president of the choir, this lady came. She used to be the director of a local bank. So this is high-ranked person, well-educated and all of that. Director of a bank, you understand that. It's CEO, pretty much.
Yeah, so when she delivers a message to you, it means something.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so she was one of the honorary members of the choir. She came and... she had a few words to tell us, the new team. I mean, the president, vice president, treasury, etc. She said, I don't have a big discourse for you today, but I want to tell you one thing. To be a good leader is to be able to love the people you are leading.
Mm, nice.
Yes. Without love, you can never be a good leader.
Mm. So that's the foundation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that took place in my head. You know, I reflected on that concept and I thought she was totally right saying so. There's just no way you can be a very good leader if in the core of your being, you don't feel that love for the people you're leading.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be either self-promoting yourself,
yeah,
or just trying to look like you're doing something, or you will have a political agenda or something, but it's not going to be something that will resonate with the people you're leading, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like when, you know, when King said, I have a dream. It was not a dream for himself.
Right.
It was something he was meditating for the people he was quote-unquote leading, for the mass.
Mm-hmm.
And people perceive that. You know, it's part of the inner dialogue as, you know, you're doing yoga, you should be familiar with this. Inner dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, whatever is within you,
mm-hmm.
your personal beliefs and aspirations.
Yes.
Quickly are transferred to people you are talking to. You know, you don't need to tell somebody, I respect you, I admire you, I love you, I want to help you. People can perceive that. Just like a dog can perceive that you have a hostile mindset.
You know?
A dog would perceive that. But human beings too, and most people probably don't realize that, but it's so effective. Mm-hmm. You know, when someone talks in front of you, you can pick on, you know, their vibes. You can tell this person is here to help me, to promote me, to elevate me and not to degrade me.
Right.
You know.
And take advantage of you.
And take advantage of you. So love is here a keyword and is part of what I call charismatic.
And that's something that you learned through somebody else telling you.
Absolutely.
That this is a key ingredient to really being an effective leader.
Yes.
And then it came from a person that was well respected and in a strong leadership role outside of the church. Mm-hmm. And so you took it very seriously.
Very seriously. The fact that you can stand in front of people like a church, for example, and talk, and all of a sudden people are happy.
Yeah.
Or are clapping is not something that comes out of the blue. They can sense you.
Mm-hmm. And they also see you working so hard in every week.
So everything correlate, you know, everything correlate. You know, you can be a tough worker doing stuff, but people just feel like, yeah, you know, I'm here to make my, you know, to get my paycheck. But this guy doesn't inspire me. I just don't like him.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something I've been reflecting on. And I've been trying to work on too, as far as my business is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, right now I am a sole proprietor. I'm probably the one and only agent in my company, except when I have to hire a second photographer, videographer, or one of my kids to help me out. But I'm probably 80% of the time alone acting. And so I've been just thinking on how I can put that actually to practice. But the other thing I could mention also too, in terms of leadership that I've learned, as to, you know, trying to answer your question, is that, I think I noticed I was a little soft.
Oh.
You know, being a good leader sometimes needs to be also solid in terms of, you know, decision making.
Yeah.
Yes. Because when you tend to be, kind, which I think I am. I tend to be a kind guy, sort of thing.
Yeah, you're very kind.
So you tend sometimes to be soft when it comes about decision making. Like recently, just to be practical, there's another photographer who reached out and said, hey, Mike, I've seen your work and all of that. I would like us to be working together in a sort of partnership. Well, the idea appears to be good. I mean, to some degree, if you work along with somebody, there's likelihood that might generate a little bit more in terms of,
if you two partnered up together.
Yes. You know, economically, that can be considered as a benefit, you know. But, what I realized after a few sessions working with a person is that it was more of me spending too much time, not trying to degrade the person, but, you know, I find myself at a level where I have to literally teach him the ABC of photography.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. So that's not the partner that you need.
No.
You need somebody who's already got those skills.
Absolutely.
And who can bring in the business right away.
Yeah.
And you're not in a position where you can mentor somebody.
Exactly. Or we can do a work together. It comes out, but it's not reflective of my quality of work because I'm working so hard on that. I'm trying to do things that look good.
Yeah.
But if you're going to partner with a beginner who's going to impact negatively the product,
yeah,
then it's not interesting. The whole deal was that at the end of the day, I'm telling myself, no, I don't think this is correct.
Yeah.
You know?
So how is that soft?
Because you have the tendency to try to help them, but beyond a certain, the acceptable,
mm-hmm.
You know? You're going far beyond the acceptable to the point where you ruin yourself.
Yeah, because it's an inappropriate boundary.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So the softness you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not setting a clear enough boundary.
Yes.
To make sure, you know, I'm off on his trail to helping to build his business.
Yes.
Lost the focus of my business.
Exactly. I've lost the focus of my business. I have achieved already a certain quality of work.
Yeah.
You know, over the course of years that I want to preserve and even improve. I don't want to be seen out there issuing products of lower quality.
Yeah.
Because I have chosen to partner with somebody who is not very knowledgeable about, you know, this business.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
Yeah.
And so I had to decide to put a term to that partnership.
Yeah.
You know, accepting that I was losing probably some markets too, because he was bringing in some markets.
Yeah.
But when I could project in the long run, I knew that was a good decision to take for my business and for my personal psychology and you know, groundness, if you will.
And you're still feeling good about the decision.
I feel very good about it.
Yeah, it was the right decision.
So this is one of the things that I have learned, you know, over the year, you know.
Yeah.
Just being charismatic, show compassion, show love, and all of that. Be present in time, but also know when to say no,
yes,
and where to say yes, and what is beneficial to the business and what is not. I read somewhere that 5% of your clients will tend to ruin your business.
Yeah.
So sometimes when somebody comes up to you and they are maybe begging, they're trying to take your prices so down, and you tend to help them, where you probably are going to ruin yourself.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a measure. What are the boundaries? And when does that start? When does that stop? So that the whole thing could be preserved.
Yeah. Because as you continue in your business, there are lots of different opportunities.
Exactly.
That you will see. And that's also a quality in a visionary leader that's important, is to be able to spot the opportunities.
Yes, yes.
And when you have charisma, people are attracted to you. And so they're going to bring you ideas of how to, you know, expand your vision and be part of it.
Exactly.
Because it's exciting to be around you. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're coming up with new ideas. And how else have you grown this year?
Well, I think that during one of our discussion on air here, I mentioned that I was still in that spot where I was very curious and actually learning too.
Yes.
I don't think that that's done per se, but it has evolved a lot, you know. I have more and more discovered way to do things in a way that would be beneficial to my company. And I have learned the know-how itself to a degree where I feel, yeah, I can present myself any place, anywhere.
Oh,
everybody,
I see.
Everybody will know that I'm knowledgeable about what I'm doing.
Okay.
And that to me is crucial. In everything you undertake, I know, in as much as you want to do it on a professional level, you got to be very knowledgeable about it. And I'm excited that at this point, I think I reached that place.
Yeah. and you continue to attract new clients. Absolutely. And the current clients that you have.
Yes.
Where there's ongoing work of working with public speakers and filming different events.
Yes.
Those types of things continue.
They continue. I very recently got hooked with partners with Food Solutions, where I did a nice video. So I hope to be working with them in the future as well. That's another major client that got in on my line. So there's been a lot of that, you know, just general good consideration from my clients and more clients. So that's been a very good thing. Earlier this year, I experienced that robbery and which kind of deranged things. But I'm up and running, seriously, and I feel very good about it.
Well, your responsiveness to the situation was very quick. Yeah. And emotionally, it took longer.
Yeah.
But you really had a fast turnaround and got back on your feet quickly.
Yeah.
And circled other people around to help.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the resourcefulness that's also needed when something happens. Because an important part of business ownership is making sure that you secure your cash flow. Because that's your stash. That's your lifeline. Mm-hmm. That's what will keep you going. And you were able to keep all the balls in the air and also rectify the situations where there was some lost footage.
Mm-hmm.
And you handle that beautifully. So there's a lot of character building experiences that you've had this year that have really helped you maybe come back to your roots of what you've been, you know, learned when you were in the Republic of Congo.
Yes.
When you first started leading in a choir.
Yes.
So there was another situation too, where you've exuded leadership, because you seem to be in other situations where you're asked to lead.
Yes, I am the current president of the Francophone community based at the Church of Saint Boniface here in Minneapolis. And
you took charge of the 5-year celebration. I don't think it would have happened. Had you not stood up and took charge and organized everybody and got them all inspired and all the food and the music and just all the different groups that were there to participate in the choir, you and Sylvie with the choir organizing that. And I mean, there were many details that you oversaw in that event. But again, it was an opportunity that you said, wow, no one's taking charge here.
Yes.
You know, this needs to happen, and I'm going to make sure it does. And you stepped in and orchestrated all the aspects of the celebration.
Absolutely.
Created a whole film that you narrated of the story behind how the Francophone community even reached a point where it's accepted in the Saint Boniface Catholic Church. I mean, you know, French Africans coming together in a big way to celebrate. So I wanted to thank you, because that was a phenomenal celebration. It was a really important one. It was not an easy journey, and that by standing up and taking that kind of a leadership role really showed a lot of character as far as your follow through. Everybody was depending on you, and you succeeded, and you built their trust further.
Yes.
And you're eloquent in how you're able to bring everybody together when you're speaking in front of them.
Yes.
You know, you can share the vision that you have and the direction.
Yes.
And those are the same skills that you want to keep applying in your own business. Mm-hmm. And because you like contributing and helping out in other ways, you want to bring that same level of commitment as you're building your business.
Oh, I'm glad you're talking about that. It would have been probably difficult for me to talk about myself like that. Well, thank you. Thank you. And I take it as a compliment. You know, I'm glad to hear that you did like the party I'd organized for the 50th anniversary of the group.
It was
so, thank you.
Amazing. What would business ownership be like in the Republic of Congo? Could you do the same things you're doing here?
Yes and no. It would be very different on these different aspects. Well, let me just say right off the bat that in the Congo, the business would have been, at least for this period of time I've been doing it, it would have developed a lot more. The major factor being that I would have used my persona, you know. I was, well, again, it's difficult to say, but I was famous as a journalist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things that I undertook quickly developed. Let me just give you an example. I used to own a nightclub back home in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
This is new information.
Oh, this is new information.
Okay.
So, and I only needed like what, 2 days of commercials on a radio station to be able to fill the place from that day on. But the fact was what? It was my brand. I used to host a show about international music called Cargo. People were watching it, you know, a lot. The minute they heard there's a nightclub called Cargo, everybody came there.
Oh.
Just like that.
Did you own the building?
No, I didn't own the building. I was actually renting in a hotel.
Okay.
Yes. So that went very quickly.
Mm.
In a matter of a week, you know, the place was filled up, you know, with people. It was running like it's been there for years or something.
Yeah.
But you see those factors, like if I would have been in the Congo doing what I'm doing now, it would have probably prospered very quickly.
Yeah.
Here it's different. You know, I'm just getting here, getting to know the place, people are getting to know me, etc. And there's all other aspects and realities that are coming into play. Cultural, psychological, and all of that. But when I look now in the long run, I feel like here the business is going to be much better, in fact.
Okay.
It's just a matter of time. In the Congo, I would have been limited to some degree.
In what way?
In terms of resources.
Oh.
You know, in terms of resources, because the kind of idea I'm trying to have now with respect to photography and videography would have been probably difficult to accomplish in the Congo. For one thing, when I have an inspiration, I can step up and get in my studio and do just that, which was not necessarily a guarantee in the Congo.
Oh.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't have electricity for a day or two, and then it comes back, and things like that.
And so what else is different about the Republic of Congo doing business there? I think of, you know, in America, it's a land of rules. There's a lot of rules and starting up and paperwork and...
Exactly. Here's the fact. To start a business here, there's lots of, you know, I would call those red tips to some degree.
Oh, some red tape to fill out. Yeah, the paperwork. Yes,
the paperwork stuff. It takes a while to even to begin to understand what are those different terms.
What types of business.
What type of business. A sole provider, a limited liability, and all of that.
And
what
are the ins and outs?
When do you use your social security number? When do you need to have your identity? How do you go about the name of the company and all of that? And of course, there's tax stuff. And, you know, that can vary depending on the type of business you're doing. So it's a little bit challenging here to start. So you see what appears to be here, like a little like red tapes and all of that. In the long run, they turn out to be actually very beneficial. Not to mention the fact that there are just lots of opportunities around here than I would have in the Congo. I have different ideas coming up with my photography, for example, you know, doing exhibits and things like that, which I think most professional photographers do, people who really depend on that for their life.
Yeah, exhibits are really popular here.
Yeah, exhibits and stuff like that. But they wouldn't be as popular in the Congo. You know, it's just not the thing.
Okay, I see.
You see.
Yeah, so there are limited ways in which you can make money. Okay.
But definitely here, I mean, I'm still in that range where I learn to even begin to see those opportunities.
Yes.
You know, and those openings to better be able to break into them and, you know, express my thoughts and my skills in that way.
Yeah.
So... I'm not in that place yet, but the future is bright, I guess.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your experience in leadership this year.
Oh, thank you.
Running a business and some of the things you've been growing in and the opportunities that have come up.
Yeah.
And I would like to share with our listeners that I'm running an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab coming up after the first of the year. And I'm having a gathering on November 17th. Which is a Saturday from 9 to 10:15, and people can meet us. And also they're going to learn about being part of a business planning leadership group, where they'll write a business plan or a life plan, and they'll be part of a smaller group that grows their business for the next year. So for 2017, I want people to know that this is a great thing that you can do for yourself. And you can come up and find out more. We're meeting at the DoubleTree Park Place Hotel in St. Louis Park. You can call me 612-804-8920, and I'll give you a few more details before you show up. All right. So thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope you take advantage of this opportunity for yourself next year. And thanks, Mike Cabea, for being here.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy.
Okay. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.